Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Brilliant, Marks. Great to be chatting to you again this afternoon. How are you?
I'm happy that we are back to normal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To talk to you on a Tuesday feels most unusual indeed. Ro, we've been chatting a lot about Facebook in the first hour. We're also going to talk to tech expert Jan Vermeulen a little later. What is the connection with the Israel report?
Well, I find it quite fascinating, first of all, that we all went offline yesterday. You know, we had to do things like speak to family members. I mean, who knew some of these people that lived in our homes and read books and those weird kind of things. But what is very interesting is some pundits opining today that this, even though it's been touted as a real slip up by somebody who's working on the routers or the routers, however you pronounce it, potato, potato, whatever. But why it's relevant to us is some say that it's that this kind of took away focus from the whistleblower who has come out saying that, you know, Facebook are doing a lot to try and get money. And I found it so interesting, the song that you played, because it is all about the money.
For sure.
However, they aren't clamping down enough on hate speech. Also, just had of Frances Haugen, she's testifying to the Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection. That's a very lengthy name. She says that Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. Yeah. And she goes on to talk about, you know, it's they're not doing anything to deal with hate speech. In fact, it amplifies hate, misinformation, and political unrest. Now, what I've seen very, very interesting, and maybe I have a bit of a personal connection because it's affecting my site that I have with my partners that's dedicated to fighting anti-Semitism and Israel advocacy. And we're being, our exposure has been clamped down unless we pay vast amounts of money. Now, I did a little bit of research and spoke to other groups, other organizations, and they're also saying, you know, it's become virtually impossible to promote our content. And a lot of the content we've noticed is scanned for any kind of language that Facebook deem undesirable. And it's not necessarily anti-Semitic language. It can be language that might be something that those who monitor it don't like politically, a certain party, a certain leaning. So we are seeing this impact, especially in the field of Israel advocacy and fighting anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I was just saying a little earlier, this is going to become a more and more important debate in the world that we live in. It can't be that one corporation decides how we react, what we read, what we think. Compy.
Oh, we are getting to very, very scary levels. I mean, you know, people are scared now to have opinions. We have discussions, you know, comedians still legal? Are they still allowed? I cannot help but think what to me, one of the greatest, Joan Rivers, would think of today's world if she was still with us. But, you know, where it does get very personal is that any information or any content that is shared that is specifically Israel or news-driven, and I speak about Israel because I work in that space, does seem to be more and more restricted.
Let's move on to the story, a weird story. Initially, I thought it was criminal, an assassination attempt on an Israeli businessman in Cyprus. Turns out not necessarily so.
Well, isn't this just fascinating? And it's actually kind of tied to another story that we spoke about yesterday, and we have some updates, and that is the story about Ron Arad and the Mossad operation to try and find out his whereabouts. And amongst the many things given to the Prime Minister in this dossier of information following this operation is that it was noted that an attempt to assassinate an Israeli billionaire businessman, his name is Teddy Sagi, he lives in Cyprus, that possibly wasn't criminal. In fact, that could very much be a retaliatory move on the part of the Iranians for the Mossad operation or alleged Mossad operation that took out those who are aligned to the nuclear reactor, or those who are threatening Israel's national security. So that, you know, that is part of this report, which we'll talk about in a second, about Ron Arad. We have heard from our defense minister, Benny Gantz, who's quoted in the press as saying that he will get his hands on anybody who threatens to harm Israeli civilians overseas and Israel's security. So harsh words indeed.
Some really good news coming out of Europe. 43 countries led by Austria pledging to combat anti-Semitism.
Yes, so this is quite extraordinary. And what makes it quite extraordinary is the scope of the countries that have taken this pledge so far. So 43 countries led by the Austrian foreign minister and led by Austria have signed a pledge at the United Nations Human Rights Council that they will not tolerate anti-Semitism and they will fight anti-Semitism. And the signatories include very interesting countries. We've got Cameroon in Africa, Uruguay and Colombia in South America. We have North America, the United States, Canada. We have the United Kingdom. We have Japan in Asia. And we have very interesting states coming from Europe, states that include Montenegro becoming much more vocal, this tiny little country becoming a lot more vocal in the fight against anti-Semitism. Other countries include Belgium, very interesting because they still participated at the Durban conference. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Australia, no shock with Australia there. They're a great friend of Israel. Very interesting to see the Seychelles on that list. Norway, Sweden, Poland, Moldova, North Macedonia, Bulgaria, Germany. So very, very, very interesting to see these countries taking a stand.
Ro, an interesting development yesterday, the Pandora Papers, disclosing all sorts of millionaires all over the world, secretly buying assets all over the place without the knowledge of their populations or their subject peoples. Jordan's King Abdullah being fingered really badly. Apparently he bought luxury homes, 14 of them, to an estimated value of 106 million. This in a country that is going through significantly difficult economic times. Do you foresee there being hell to pay because of this disclosure?
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, you know, but we also have to remember that the Jordanians know how to clamp down on their citizens. We've seen what happens with unrest in the past, but it definitely has exposed the double standards and the incredible hypocrisy that we see coming from many world leaders and celebrities. I think we're seeing a great change in the climate in the world that, you know, if you're going to have vast amounts of money, one thing we don't want you to do is to be a hypocrite and a virtuous signaler.
Yeah, my gut tells me that story ain't going away, and we're going to see a lot more of that in the near term. Yesterday, we didn't have a chance to talk much about COVID at all. In terms of your passports, your vaccination passports, your system imploded, I believe, and millions of people left without access to electronic vaccination certificates.
Well, there are warnings on the Misrad Abriyut, that's the health ministry site, that it can be overwhelmed with all the overload, but I managed to get my updated green pass, and the situation is being sorted out. But yes, a massive attempt by the government, by the health ministry, to get Israeli citizens vaccinated.
Amen to that, and we watch that with huge interest. Ro, that brings us to 5:30. We leave it there this afternoon, and we chat again tomorrow, because things are back to normal.
Things are absolutely back to normal, well, as much as normal as they can be in these times.